This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
We are being faced by enormous changes. Now we need to look at that and say, firstly, how does that affect people? The people who perhaps would be on the receiving end of our ministry, how appropriate is our ministry to those recipients? Are we able to communicate with them in their vernacular? And so are we able to deal with the real issues? I guess it's a bit like scratching where people itch rather than scratching where they don't itch, because that just produces a sore. It's not helpful at all. So let's look at what's happening in the process, say, of globalization. We know that on the face of the earth right now, the economy of the world is in a constant state of flux. The major powers that were Western in terms of economy have globalized, and so they've realized that in order to survive, they need to produce a product that will be sold, not just, say, an indigenous product to their country, but a product that's indigenous to the country in which they want to do business. Mm-hmm. They'll sell that product to them now, and they'll use indigenous staff to do that. That's a complete change, but it helps them to realize the best price for the product. And so that's definitely economy driven, but it represents a change that's taking place on the face of the earth. Well, of course, actually now the West is not the only major economic producer, and we're seeing Asia, you know, coming up right behind. And so firstly, say India, for example, becoming a major economic driving force with the educational processes that have gone on there and the outsourcing that's gone on from the West. Well, we're seeing China now coming up, a huge body of people coming to the marketplace. And so that's creating an enormous economic shift, and it's making our world look very different. That has a psychological impact on the workforce, on the companies. I suppose I would say that people thought that the world would stay the same in terms of, this is what I do. I go to work every day. My job's not threatened. But now it is.
Right.
You could be living in the United Kingdom or Australia or the United States, and your job's not safe now, because actually you're far more expensive than the company can stand. This whole process affecting the world has brought about, I guess we could say, it's the psychosocial dynamic that brings about the postmodern idiom. It's certainly a major source of influence on people groups around the world. So that now, for example, my father probably had a career that, and he imagined he was going to work in that job for the rest of his days. I think that was true for a lot of people in the West. But over the last 20 years, at least 20 years, that's no longer true. And so if I'm a man in my late 50s, early 60s, and I've lost my job, I'm completely at sea. I don't know how to view the world. But the younger generation are saying, well, we can't even do career like that anymore. Mm. And so the effect is that those people think in shorter pieces. They look at life in a series of jumps.
Right.
And so career, now one would expect to go through something in the region of 13 changes in my lifetime, maybe more. I think it's getting more and more as the days go by. So there's a massive change there.
I've been with Transworld Radio for 25 years. What you're saying to me is that someone who is, say, half my age, they may only give 3 years to it, maybe 5 years, because I know the question that is on a lot of people who are between 45 and 60, we're saying, you know, those young people, they're not committed, But that's not necessarily true, is it?
Well, no. I mean, I guess one of the things that we've been able to demonstrate well on the face of the earth is a failure to understand culture.
Mm.
And so that's more easily seen, say, in nationalities, national cultures. We can see the difference between the USA and China. We can understand those things, but
right.
we fail perhaps to realize that within our own nation, there are several subcultures. And actually, there's as much need to understand the different cultural layers in our own nation as there is to understand these other nationalities. It's easier to understand
right.
it from the point of view of a nationality. In actual fact, a commitment to, say, 1 to 5 years on the mission field as a life bite is equally a sense of commitment on the part of, say, a postmodern, an individual from the postmodern idiom. That's sincerely and genuinely seen as a commitment to ministry. And indeed it is.
Right.
It just isn't the same
right.
as somebody else from a different subculture.
Perhaps what we could do right now is give our friend listening either a tool or a way that they could engage to help understand the young Christian worker that has just showed up on the scene so that there can be understanding.
Well, again, that's another big question. There are lots of tools available in the press to help us to understand nationality, national cultures, but probably less in terms of our subcultures within our own countries. So for me, I would say that perhaps the best thing we can do is end judgment, not rush to judgment, suspend judgment. I think there's a biblical case to be made for that anyway. I honestly think that lying behind our judgment is fear, that we are afraid of the challenge that these other subgroups bring to us. Consequently, instead of engaging to try and understand them, we pull back and we're revolted and we build a case against, as if there's something wrong with that subculture, failing to recognize that we are also part of a subculture, that at some point in the past, people in other subcultures didn't understand. I mean, I can remember, you know, I'm 55 years of age. I can remember being viewed as a complete mystery by people when I was 15, when they were 55.
Right.
You know, I was a complete mystery and must have been a considerable threat to older people with what they would have considered was rebellion.
Mm.
We weren't taught. They weren't taught. We've not been taught. Let me stand back. Let me try and understand. I think what we can do as a tool is not judge and take a good long look at the forces that there are on the face of the earth. What is it that leads to subculture? It's these, what I'm calling, sounds fancy, but they're psychosocial dynamics. In other words, there are sociological shifts that change the thought patterns of a group of people. So if companies have been failing because of the economic difficulties on the face of the earth, and if that's brought an end to the possibility of a career, if young people have seen their parents and their grandparents being made redundant, what we've been generating there is a failure to get security from those norms. They're not norms anymore. I can't look at the future then and get security from the thought that there'll always be a job for me. And so in order to survive and indeed thrive, I've got to find a new way of coping. And the new way of coping in the postmodern idiom, to some degree, this is just a lay example, but is to actually see life in bites rather than in long periods. Because there is a sense in which nothing lasts forever. Indeed, a lot of those young people, their parents' marriages never lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't even get security from human relationships. And that, you know, that's quite a big thing to say. So I think people are seeing things in bites.
As I asked that question, I realized that our listener who may be on the other side, who may be that 23, 24, 25-year-old, I would assume that there are those who are going into Christian ministry who will make a longer commitment?
I think that there are distinct possibilities that people will do that. I don't think it will be normative. I tend to feel that the forces at large have developed people as they now are in order to keep them. But even the language of keeping them is probably related to a subculture. But if we wanted to keep them, then integrity, honesty, purpose, value, making a difference, all of these dynamics are important. And so loyalty to dinosaurs seems to be out of vogue.
When we look at the length of time or how the younger person serves in this postmodern world, what are the strengths that they bring in this kind of an approach?
For me, one of the most obvious is incredible flexibility. We were talking earlier about the rate of change, and I made a statement about the last 100 years. Well, I would say the last 10 years of that 100 years, that's where the gas pedal has been really pressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we are at a stage where chaos theory really is probably the prevailing theory, because change is happening at such a rate that it literally is chaotic. Now, if you are a kind of a person that views life in large chunks, you're going to be destabilized several times over with the rate of change.
Mm.
If, however, you have been kind of born for the day, that you are a child of the moment, then you are capable of handling that rate of change, not without some kind of emotional impact, and that's in another issue that needs addressing, but you are able to roll with the punches, so to speak, because you're a product of that age.
If I, as the more seasoned Christian worker, looks at this younger worker who's just come on the scene, then a good way for me to look at them is to view them as a real resource for helping us as an organization adapt to quick changes that are happening, because they're going to be able to adapt to it perhaps more readily and help us to understand why it's happening.
Yeah, very definitely. I mean, this group of people are an enormous asset to mission, but they are also an enormous threat, because if actually we want things to stay as they've always been, that's not going to happen anyway.
Right.
You know, you don't have that as an option. These people are going to be of enormous benefit to us. So now we need not to resist them, not to try and protect ourselves against them, because they can make us feel dizzy with their ability to handle these things, but to embrace what they know and how they know it, and even learn how to help them to be the best themselves they can be in this journey of small bites. And at the same time, help them to serve God and serve ministry over that period of time extremely well. They will serve you well. They're bright, they're energetic, they're passionate. They've got a lot of qualities that have fallen asleep in some of the other subcultures. And they can really light a fire for us with some of those things.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.